This week in your parents' basement, we are venturing out of the basement and exploring strange new worlds, seeking out new life and boldly going where no one has gone before. From 1992, we're playing Star Trek 25th Anniversary for the NES by Interplay and published by Ultra Games. I'm Steve Greenwell, and with me today, damn it, he's a video game player, not a doctor. It's Todd Brisket.
Welcome to the Village of the Cat People. How can we help you?
Oh, I think we all remember that part from the game, including our other regular co-host. He thinks that emotion is highly illogical. It's Huell Hauser.
Boop, boop, I'm in space. Todd took my line.
Like I stole your line.
I don't know, you could talk about bug spray or something.
There's a tribble in my pants.
Oh,
there we go.
That's hot. Today we're joined by a special guest. He taught me everything I know about journalism, which could be a great or a horrible thing, depending on your perspective. It's my buddy from college, Bob Hansen.
Live 9 lives and prosper. Ooh. And it's definitely a horrible thing, by the way, Steve.
Yeah. Well, considering what I'm doing now, recording this show, I'd say so.
We see where he's ended up.
Oh, God. I'd say I'm on Skid Row, but that'd be an improvement. You can reach us by email at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe to it on iTunes and give us some stars. Also, please support the show by using our Amazon click-through link at www.ypbpodcast.com. We want to buy every Nintendo 64 RPG, all three of them. Today's game is Star Trek 25th Anniversary from 1992. There are a few fandoms more devoted and intense than the one for Star Trek. However, the series kind of has an odd video game history. Unlike Star Wars, which is pretty much immediately exploited for video game purposes, Trek instead was developed mostly on devices called computers. These early computer games were mostly text adventures and simulations of action on the bridge. So even though Star Trek has been around since the 1960s, video game development really started up with the NES and the confusingly named Star Trek 25th Anniversary. It's named that even though it's the first game for the NES. Now, my buddy Bob, he is a big Star Trek fan, and that's why I asked him to play this one and to guest with us today. Since there's also a new Star Trek movie is about to come out as we record the show. So, Bob, what do you think of this one?
So, I've got to say, Steve, I was honored you asked me to come, and honored you remembered my great fandom for the series. So, you know, you asked me to choose a game. I recommended a computer game, and you said, no, we should choose one for the NES.
Yes.
So I chose this one. And, you know, it started off great. I could not figure out how to start the game because the buttons were really weird. And so it asked me to enter a passcode. And so I started having flashbacks to, you know, old games where, you know, you had to enter a passcode with your manual and stuff to make sure you hadn't stolen it or something. But apparently that wasn't the problem. And so anyway, this was all basically a good preview for this game, which was just a lot of bad things.
I do not disagree.
Yeah, this game is, well, Huell probably had the most success with it, I'm guessing, because he actually reads the manual for these games.
You'd be surprised how much the manual doesn't tell you. Yeah. I mean, it gives you the basic controls. It tells you that you're on the ship and then you're on the ground sometimes, and that's about it.
That's it?
Yeah.
Because there's a lot going on in this game.
Well, there's a lot. The manual speaks of things that seem to have a lot of promise, but they never come to fruition.
So Steve, if you were going to describe this game, I'd call it Beam Me Up, Scotty. I've got to say, because I got beamed back to the Enterprise so many times.
Oh, yeah.
After, and always, for me at least, it was embarrassing because you would basically get killed by, lizards and, I think they were worms. I couldn't get past worms in this game.
Yeah, I didn't. So that's as far as I got in this game. I got to that first planet and they said, oh, there's, you know, look around for some temple or something. And then I got to these worms that just killed me over and over and over again. and I gave up. I played it again the next day, and I tried to figure out, what am I doing? I mean, I put my phaser on full blast, gonna blast these sons of guns out of here, these little worms.
Full blast.
So I killed a couple of them, but I still couldn't get past them. I was like, okay, this is the game. I'm gonna turn it off now. Then later, I had to watch somebody do a run through of the game to figure out, you know, what am I missing? Oh, you got to go down instead of up on that first screen. And if you go down, you get you can make some plant repellent or worm repellent with the cat people.
Yeah, oh, I was gonna throw really? I was gonna throw some shade at you guys because I was gonna say, oh well, I don't think that y'all are too good at video games based on some of my previous listening experiences, and I've confirmed it. At the beginning of the game, it says, oh well, you can go up to the temple or you can go down to the human settlement, which. I guess maybe since I've watched too many episodes of Star Trek, I'm like, oh, well, you better go to the human settlement first.
Oh, I
to go find
there.
The cat people. You went there and you still weren't able to figure out that you needed to get your worm repellent.
No, because where was it? How do you get it?
Did you see the people doing the ritual dance?
Yes. So Spock says, hey, they're doing a ritual dance. And I'm like, all right, I'll just walk around them.
So you go into one of those little huts, you know, in the very culturally sensitive Star Trek game where, you know, it brings you and all of a sudden you see your your primitive people who, of course, look like island people. And then you go in and the medicine man, because, again, this is very culturally sensitive, tells you, oh, well, if you bring me one of the little plants that spits at you, I can make you worm repellent, which since I'd gone south first, I had no idea what the worms problems was.
Oh.
And so I was like, oh, okay, I can bring one of these little plants back, which, you know, is really hard. It was surprising how many times that guy knocked me down, and I had to be beamed to the Enterprise before I figured out that I had to stun him and then scan him with the tricorder. But then I got my worm repellent, which didn't do me much good. I mean, when you guys watched the walkthrough, but you didn't really miss much by not getting past those worms. Honestly, it got worse.
Yeah, from the walkthrough I saw, it didn't get good. The thing that this game does right, it looks like, is the kind of storytelling part of it, the interstitials where you're talking to your crew, stuff like that.
It starts out interesting. Yeah, it starts out with so much promise, I thought. I was like, man, this is good. Like, they're recreating, like, the show. Like, they're really putting attention to detail. Like, they got the little stations. They got stuff's going on.
Well, even in the manual, it says you're better off talking to people and figuring out what they have to say.
Yeah.
First, and which is great. That's how Star Trek is. It's not just going in with your phasers hanging out, blasting all the innocent people,
whipping them out. Mm-hmm. And at least, yeah, the game does perfectly encapsulate the boringness of Star Trek of just wandering around doing sciencey stuff, but not the fun part of science where like you blow stuff up or burn things.
Yeah, or where you bang a green alien chick.
Yeah. But no, like, you know, analyzing things and doing experiments.
Yeah, there was a sad lack of green aliens in this game.
I know. I also looked at, you know, one of the walkthroughs for this game. It's somebody beating the game at a leisurely pace, about an hour and 30. but they basically, you know, they go through the game, but they don't use any, like, cheats or exploits to make it quicker.
But they do know what they're doing, which is a huge help, it looks like.
That is a key. Yeah.
Yes, that does help with games, if you know what you're doing.
Most of the time.
Yeah, so I've got to say, Steve, you know, I launched this game, and, you know, I got past the worms, which were apparently very hard. and then your next part is, you know, you have to go find some amulet to unlock a door, which is guarded by, like, swamp dogs. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they were lizards or dogs or what. And so you have to, like, the dogs are persistent. Like, they sent me to the Enterprise so many times to get beamed up because they just kept killing me. And so you have to stun them. And then the first thing that Captain Kirk says after you stun the swamp dogs is, oh, well, do you think it's going to be all right? Like, in very hippie Star Trek fashion, like, this thing just kills you over and over again, but you're worried whether the dog you stunned is going to be all right.
Ugh.
And so I get past that, and I get into the little temple, and the thing that you do in the little temple is, like, basically gives you, like, a series of characters that you have to figure out that I still have written out in front of me. And you have to go through, like, you have to see them on the wall. You have to literally have to write them down because it's the only way you're going to remember them, because there are 3, 6, 9, 12 characters, and they have to go through 4 screens to select those 12 characters. So you literally have to have a pad and paper with you, and so I almost shut down the game right then and emailed you back and said, we need a new game. But it was Monday, and I figured it was too late.
Now, if I were a young tyke back in the day playing this game, I'd be amazed. Wow, there's puzzles in here. There's action.
What?
And you got to concentrate. You got to memorize stuff. You got to write it down. Use pen and paper. But in today's modern times, where the games play themselves for me, I can't do that.
See, I'm of the opposite mindset, Todd, where I feel like, you know, if I really hunkered down, I probably could have gotten further in this game. As a kid, I would have had absolutely no tolerance for this. Like,
well, that's the other half of that coin, which is that I would be able to concentrate more on it because, you know, back in the day, I this would be my one game I got that year. And so I'd put my time in on it. But unfortunately, or fortunately, if you're Huel, I wasn't much of a Star Trek fan back in the day. So this did not interest me at all.
Oh.
Yeah, I'll put my time into games if they're fun and rewarding.
Yeah, which this was not. I mean,
two things did not seem.
Yeah,
no, it was all a bad sign when it was centered around dilithium crystals, which were literally invented as a plot device to make episodes interesting, to give them something to do. So they centered the game around dilithium crystals was a bad sign.
This is the whole game. I watched the walkthrough. The entire game is about the crew of the Enterprise going from planet to planet and stealing their natural resources.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Seems perfect.
Well, and also, like, I don't know. Obviously, this is the 25th anniversary edition. You would think they, at this point, how many movies did they have to pull from? 5, 6 of them?
Mm.
Like, they could have pulled...
What year is this? 91?
92?
Oh.
Well, yeah, the game was made in 91, definitely.
God, it feels like it was made in, like, 84.
I mean...
Yeah, I'm shocked. I didn't even think it was that old. Wow.
Well, yeah, on one hand, it was made a while ago, but this is a game that came out, you know, more toward the end of the NES lifespan than the beginning. So, in that respect, it's kind of disappointing. And let's see, Star Trek's 1 through 6 were already out or about to be out. Star Trek 6 was 1991, so. I mean, they could have just done a game that was more, you know, about one of the movies as opposed to this one, which is just,
right.
Oh, you know, let's randomly go to some planets. There's not even, I don't even think there's tribbles in this game.
Well, that is shocking.
What I love is like they made some stuff up for this game, which is, you know, the first planet you go to, the village of the cat people. They call themselves the cat people.
That is what they say.
Well, there's only the cats you can't get past, like the roadblocks. Those cats.
Yeah,
I definitely didn't run into cats. I couldn't get past worms. I'm not going to get past cats. But that's always like a double-edged sword with games that are based off like very well-known properties. Like, do you try to recreate a story that people know, or do you try to make a new story? And I can see the benefits to both. Mm-hmm. But in this one, it seems like they went with creating a new story. And it didn't quite work out.
No.
And that's why I was saying I was shocked, too, Steve, because Interplay made this Star Trek 25th anniversary computer game, mm-hmm. and that game's good.
Oh.
This game is like, you know, it's like they were like, oh, hey, do you ever play Zelda? So we're going to do Zelda, but we're going to screw up the perspective. So like the guy's going to be too big and he's going to look like he's barefoot, but everything about it's going to be worse than Zelda, except it'll still have things that like spit fire at you and kill you way too fast.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think maybe Interplay should just stay away from this genre completely because they made another little game called Lord of the Rings.
Did they?
Yeah, that was in my notes. Is this game feels like Lord of the Rings for the old Super Nintendo.
I think that game was better.
No, I don't.
It's got more. It's the action is better in that one. Which is
it's less confusing.
Sad to say.
No, Lord of the Rings for the Super Nintendo is way worse because I don't know. That one to me is like an easier fit to a video game.
Mm-hmm.
Like you just gotta have hobbits like beating the crap out of orcs and stuff. Like that's not too hard. Whereas, you know, Star Trek, you know, they're the show. They're like battling with energy monsters, like energy species, like that kind of stuff. Like, you know, I could see where okay, that's kind of hard to translate into a game. Like, what are you gonna do? Have Kirk and Khan fight off in a laser battle or something in a video game? Like,
you can always have your ship run out of fuel. That's always exciting. Like Ghostbusters again.
Oh God.
They didn't get behind the Enterprise and push it though.
Yeah,
I'm disappointed.
They should have. Out of the planet. Some gravity.
Oh my God. Yeah, for comparison's sake, other games released in 1992, Kirby's Dream Land, Wolfenstein 3D, Super Mario Kart, Mortal Kombat, and Street Fighter 2, it looks like. Actually, Street Fighter 2 was 1991, so those are the kind of games this one was going up against, which, you know, is not a great comparison.
Did not have it had his work cut out for it.
Yes, correct.
That is so sad because there were two other Star Trek games. Because there was the computer game, which was good, and then there was a Game Boy game that was also good. Mm-hmm. Did you guys play either of those?
No. Please tell about those good games.
Okay, so the computer game was like, I mean, it was like King's Quest or like Galaxy Quest, where you know, basically you'd beam down and you'd go down, and it had like the unique stories. You know, they kind of borrowed a little bit from the original series, but they were their own stories in themselves, and you had to use items or get items, and you hunt around the screen and find stuff and solve little puzzles, and you know, that was good. And then the Game Boy game was basically like a side scroller where either you were like on you know, on a planet and you're kind of shooting at dudes, or in the Enterprise, shooting out like Klingons and Romulans and stuff. Very good Game Boy game. And, you know, both of them, I mean, I can't believe what this NES game came out against, because it is such hot garbage. I mean, like, I don't want to call it the Star Trek V of video games, but it's basically the Star Trek V of video games.
No, the computer one sounds really good. Whales? That sounds like what this series, the, you know, the TV show is made for, is an adventure game like that, a point and click game.
Yeah. It seems like the idea that everyone would have for a Star Trek game actually executed correctly.
Yeah, post to hot garbage.
Yeah,
so incorrect. When going into playing this one, Steve was telling us that you recommended this game because it's the best Star Trek game. That was my expectation going in. I'm sure there's some mistranslation in there somewhere, but this is what I heard going in. It's like, wow, is this the best that Star Trek has to offer? Oh, yes. Man.
So that explains a lot about, you know, if Steve thinks that I taught him everything he knows about journalism, him reporting that type of fact to you makes a lot of sense then.
Well, I only went on reputable sites for reviews for this one. I went on Prodigy. I looked at the forums there.
CompuServe?
CompuServe was very high on this. A user named Scooterbutt002 loved this game. Yeah.
Did you ask Jeeves what the best Star Trek game was?
I went to the dog pile.
Ooh.
And that's right. What they spit right out.
Right on the bottom of that pile was Star Trek 25th anniversary.
Yes. Although sadly, this game does not show up on the list of like the worst Star Trek games, because they're like any long running licensed series, there's been a lot of crap pushed out. So this is I think this is kind of a middle of the pack game in that series.
Boy.
I will say this, the early 90s, the comparison between PC games and regular console games was not especially kind. Like PC was kind of way ahead of consoles at that time, at least in my opinion, in terms of like graphics and that kind of stuff. So
yeah,
the graphics in the PC game were much better than this one.
Well, this does. Now we talk about how this was seemed like a game that was behind the times of the contemporary games around it.
Yeah.
But this does have the modern, maybe that mid to late 2000s issue where the cutscenes had much better graphics than the actual gameplay.
Oh, definitely.
Where we have these exquisite drawings depicting the
super tan Spock.
Yes, these very dark-skinned Vulcans?
Yeah.
And the James T. up on the bridge, very detailed. Then you get down to the planet, and there's weird spit. They look like marionettes, where like they have giant heads, and like their limbs are flopping around. Yeah. Like waddling around, like
the way they walk is hilarious.
With a dump in their pants, it's it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. What they ended up being when they're just walking around the planet looks like Team America.
Yeah,
yeah. The animation in this game is not too kind. It also let me just say this is yet another game where the sound was driving me insane.
Oh, yeah. The sound is horrible.
Oh, my music God. The, was horrible. The music in the jungle is so bad.
I had to turn off the sounds when I was playing this.
Yeah, it's not good. It's just like this really tinny, high-pitched noise that's just going the entire time you're in the village. So, I mean, it's not quite Ghostbusters level bad, where Ghostbusters just gets into your brain and that's all you just hear it playing over and over again. But yeah, this is definitely a game you could probably play on mute and you'd be fine. Yep, go ahead, Bob.
So Steve. Yeah. So I mean, I'm curious, what game are you upset about the sound about? What was it you didn't like the music on?
Ghostbusters?
You didn't like the Ghostbusters game theme? What was it, the Fallout Boy version?
No, did they do a version for the new movie?
Unfortunately, yes.
Oh my God, that doesn't sound good.
It sounds like the worst possible thing that I could hear.
Oh. Well,
I'll hold my judgments until I listen to it.
Yeah. Look,
Steve, I have a special present for you.
Oh no.
Oh, God. Oh, now see, that just brings back good memories now of my fellow Sweet Baby Boys and the fun times we had playing that game. And
it sounded like a direct and deliberate attack to me.
Well,
yeah. How dare you besmirch the Ghostbusters game?
What?
I've got to say.
Oh no. Controversial opinions.
How can you defend that game?
Are you talking about let's clear it up here. Are you talking about the one made for the Nintendo Entertainment System?
Yes, I'm talking about the one made for the Nintendo Entertainment System.
Oh no.
I found nothing more fun in my childhood than buying ghost food.
I can't even tell if you're being serious or not right now. God, in case, I don't know. It would be weird if people decided not to listen to the Ghostbusters show and skip straight to Star Trek. Like, I feel like there's probably 90% overlap between those two in terms of, if you like one, you're probably into the other and vice versa.
I've just now picked my jaw off of the floor.
Yeah, this is a callback for your listeners. Now your listeners can go back and listen to the Ghostbusters one because that's such a great episode about you guys being completely wrong.
I would like an explanation, please.
I have no explanation. I like buying ghost food. What can I say? I like repeatedly tapping the same button over and over again to climb stairs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you love driving to the gas station instead of busting ghosts.
Yeah, some of our parents weren't ballers and didn't buy us like the what are those controllers that like would press the same button over and over again?
Turbo?
Yeah.
Yeah, the turbo controllers. Yeah, yeah. So some of us worked hard as children, Steve.
Wow.
I had the NES Advantage actually. The joystick controller is pretty cool.
Yeah, this is why Bob's thumbs are as big as Huel's forearms.
It's true.
That's the only reason.
But we haven't explained why my forearms are that big.
Well, we don't need to.
We'll leave that to the imagination of the listener.
I will say, after the show, I realized, I'm looking at it. I just opened my drawer right now, and I'm looking at it. I actually have Ghostbusters still. Like,
is that the sequel?
No, like the cart. Like
Ghostbusters still.
Ghostbusters still would be a good game, because you wouldn't have to do anything, at least, versus that goddamn awful original. But no, I still have that one. And also, we've covered all of the games I physically own now, except for two.
Whoa. Really?
Yeah, one would be Short Order and Explode, which I don't even know how.
Was that the Dizzy Egg game?
Yeah, I don't even know how I got this. I have no recollection of buying this. Maybe it was from the same Savers trip as I got the box Metroid in the consignment shop shopping.
Oh right,
and
the
famous
trip.
Yeah, the famous, yeah. And Legend of Zelda, which we haven't. I don't know why.
It's kind of surprising we have not covered that yet.
Well, it's
feels like we're saving it.
Well, it's also because we've had a couple guests who've wanted to do it, and then they had to back out for one reason or another. So
true.
That's part of the reason why. But no, the others: Bases Loaded, Bubble Bobble, Ghostbusters, Super Mario, and
so
Contra.
Do you just mean the games you own that would fall into the eras that we cover?
Oh, yeah. Like, I...
Okay.
I mean, I own Fallout 4. We have covered that, but...
Indeed.
No, I sadly have way too much video game stuff. Like, still. I don't know. I'm also looking at copies of, like, Final Fantasy IX and Grandia 2 and... Like we're never gonna cover those games. They're too new.
Yeah. The only cartridges I own are for N64.
Mm-hmm.
I have nothing prior to that.
Oh wow, I have some Riddick Bow boxing here too. You want to cover that? That's a good game.
Nah.
Raging Fighter. It's like Street Fighter but bad. Anyways.
Streets of Raging Fighter.
It pretty much is. It's a copy of Street Fighter 2, straight down to the fact that they only have one woman and they have like a stretchy guy too. So they're
stretchy guy.
Yeah. But anyway, Star Trek. It's I don't know. So Bob, since you're the fan here,
explain yourself.
No. I think we've established that Bob wanted to play an actual good Star Trek game, and I said, let's not do that. I don't know why. But Bob, let's talk about the movies. Which one's your favorite, and do you like new Star Treks or not, if you could answer?
You know, that's such a hard question, Steve. It's like you're asking me to choose between my children on this one.
You only have one child, though.
And wouldn't that be pretty crappy to make me choose between him and other children?
Theoretical children.
Theoretical children, that's right. Or children nobody else knows about. Who knows?
Oh, that's a good point.
But,
you're right.
Which, as a Star Trek fan, is like a huge danger. But I've got to say, so Star Trek VI is probably my favorite because, allegories about the Cold War are awesome,
mm-hmm.
right? Really like, so not to be like drippingly sarcastic throughout. I mean, it's a good movie. It's got, it's got the Klingons, but it's also got like, hey, actual development. Like the Klingons aren't just like the big bad guys who are also like, like yet another racist caricature. Like, it's got actual development there. It's got, it builds on some of the previous movies in terms of Kirk, like, oh, I'll never trust a Klingon and I never will. I can never forgive them for the death of my boy, which, like, since you guys don't seem to be huge fans, like, You may not know the Klingons killed Kirk's son, but they did because they're evil. They're bad. Oh. And they also didn't have ridges in the TV show, which may also be news. I don't know. So that's the best. I mean, I subscribe to the theory that the even-numbered movies are the best, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, Khan. Go ahead.
Yeah, isn't that kind of the, like, the main thing about the series? The main thing. Like, the
main thing, yeah.
Yeah, that the even-numbered movies are good and the odd-numbered movies are, you know, less than good.
Which is largely true. I mean, your even-numbered movies are Wrath of Khan, which is one of the best, one of the best movies for sure. It's got the best villain. Star Trek IV, which many people know is the movie about the whales.
Yeah.
Which was like a great like 80s buddies comedy, basically, but with the Star Trek characters. Oh, no, for real. Eddie Murphy was supposed to be in that. Did you know that?
I did not know that at all. I have.
So also, go ahead, Steve.
I have seen four, and it is kind of goofy, but it's a good movie. Like, it's, you know, it's fun.
No, it's a solid movie. The Vulcan neck pinch of the punk with the boombox in the back of the bus. Which, you know, speaking of my kid for a second, like, I'm pretty sure he's gonna have no idea what the heck a boombox is when he grows up in 10 years.
Oh no!
No, when he watches Trek 4, he'll know what it is. That's how he's gonna learn.
That's true. You know, he loves Deep Space Nine right now. He's 2.5. So the brainwashing is going well.
Oh, nice. It must be if you're already up to Deep Space Nine.
Oh, yeah, well, already up to. Deep Space Nine is the best series, guys. Hate to break it to you.
Mainlining it.
Oh, well, I can't.
Did you start at the beginning with them?
Yeah, I can't put my judgments on it because I've been, over the course of the past few years since I've had Netflix, going through the entire Star Trek oeuvre.
Star Trek's
been going through all the tracks, and so I'm just now getting to DS9, so I haven't even watched it yet.
Oh, really? It is a slog through those first few seasons. I've got to recommend you just stick it out. There's a lot of payoff toward the back end, but those first two seasons are hard.
So you got about, 100 hours to get through before it gets good.
Okay. Yeah. That's how I like my shows.
Yeah.
Well, it's weird.
The investment.
Before we started up tonight, I was actually watching a little show called Voyager, which, I don't know. It's clearly not as good as Next Generation was the one I've watched and seen the most. It's clearly not as good as that, and it's not as weird and goofy as the original series, which, you know, some of the episodes you can just tell, oh, well, let's just wing it. Let's just go for it on this one. Sure, why not? Let's have them all act hippy dippy and knocked out on loopy gas.
I think that's called not having a budget.
Yeah, clearly you can definitely see the original one is clearly the most low budget of all of them. But I kind of like the concept of Voyager, which is the fact that they get thrown like 80 years across the galaxy, and there's probably no way for them to get back. At least that's the starting premise.
No spoils. No spoils, man. I haven't watched that yet.
It's
I thought the far-fetched plot was that there's a lady captain.
Oh, good one.
How could she ever make it that far? Am I right, guys?
Hi-oh.
Hey, if you've seen the skirts from the original series, I mean, why would you think otherwise?
Is that what you call
forced to dress with like that?
Got all these skirts around.
I don't know. It's Voyager isn't a great show, but it satisfies an itch. And I do need to circle back and watch the original series though in Deep Space Nine, because the original series I watched a lot of them like in my youth and my teenage years, but a lot of the episodes I just don't remember.
Yeah, what I did when I watched the original series is I picked and choose the best ones that people said are the best ones, and so I watched about 10 in total, 10, 15, somewhere around there.
Oh, see,
some of them are really good.
See, I also would have an interest in the bad ones, though, because isn't there one where they basically go to Mafia World?
Yes, there is. And I've got to say, you guys missed some of the payoff on this game by not seeing the really bad episodes of the original series. There's a Halloween episode of the original series where they beam down to a planet and it's just like all sorts of spooky and stuff. And there's actually like one of the aliens like is a cat. And so the cat people like kind of are a callback to that. And then, yeah, all like the weird like tribal people like with the cat people. Like, I mean, there's a bunch of episodes like that. There's actually an episode where Kirk becomes a Native American god, which was basically in the third season when they'd given up. And yeah, I mean, they were like, oh, we're just going to go for flat out racism here. And, you know, I mean, basically, if you look at the history books on this one, it's like if Gene Roddenberry was like actively involved in the writing, it was going to be racist and terrible, even though he was the one who had like the hippie utopia vision. Like, he did it in like the least culturally sensitive way possible.
Oh. I will say one of my favorite seams showing through on the later series is when they use the holodeck, and it's clear it's like, well, what's laying around the Paramount studio that we can use? Oh, there's an old western set over there. Well, I guess we're going to the old west in the holodeck today. So, the episode of Voyager I'm watching right now, Janeway was like in a romance novel, and it's like, well, I guess Katie Mulgrew just wanted to get an address this week. So,
now, this actually is a good reminder back to the game. So my wife had like, you know, she'll entertain me on Star Trek every so often. Mm-hmm. And there are two types of episodes that she absolutely despises. And the first type of episode is Trapped in the Holodeck, which Voyager did a lot.
Yeah.
And then the second type of episode that she hates is Trapped in Their Own Minds, which happened a few times in Deep Space Nine. And
it happens
also
a lot on Next Generation.
Yep. And happened in the game. If you got to the next planet, which, by the way, like one of the nice things that this game did you is it gave you a bunch of planets to go to, a bunch of which you'd beam down to, and it would say, oh, never mind, there's nothing here. Congratulations, though, you went to another planet. there was another planet where you go, and they're like, oh, hey, this like little steam cloud looks like a dragon, and then it was actually a dragon, and they were like, oh, no, what is that? And then Spock eventually figures out, oh, no, it's all in your minds, and it can only hurt you if you believe in it, so I just need to do a mind meld and make you stop believing in it. So, you know, that was a good callback to basically being trapped in their own mind and fighting dragons and little devil heads.
Oh God, I definitely agree with Kristen on that standpoint. In that I hate when shows do obvious bottle episodes like that, like Trapped in the Holodeck and you know that kind of thing. I don't know. you guys,
know, some of the Next Generation ones where they have a. When they finally realize, oh, we have trained Shakespearean actors on our cast, why don't we actually do something with them?
Well, I think Next Generation definitely gets helped by the fact that they clearly have the best acting crew of, you know, all of the shows. Because, I don't know, the original series has Spock, it has Leonard Nimoy, but then after that, it gets a little thin. Next Generation has, you know, has some good folks on there. Has Picard, has Data. So.
Yeah, I think Next Generation is the only one I've actually seen episodes of.
Oh, well, you just need to get a little more cultured.
Yeah.
Follow up on your Star Treks. Bob,
go ahead.
What do you guys think of the new movies? Because I actually have not seen those yet.
Yeah. Neither have I.
Oh, neither has you. Okay.
Nope.
Wow. Okay. That's very.
Very mature.
So the
yes.
new movies.
Yes, I agree.
Pretty sure.
Well, listen. I basically watch new movies if they are in the theater and I'm dating a girlfriend, and that did not happen when the first one came out, and then by the time the second one came out, you know, that's a lot of watching to catch up. So
that's why the never mind.
It's why
I couldn't think of something fast enough. Go ahead.
Well, so what I've got to say besides, you know, I have some joke about you and your hands in the movie theater, Steve. But
oh boy,
yeah, this is gonna be your escape podcast here. So you didn't miss anything by not watching the second new Trek movie. It was basically like, oh, we're going to do like a little bit of fan service to people who like really liked the Wrath of Khan and the original Star Trek. Mostly it's just going to be like a soulless action movie that doesn't even really make sense. Like, okay, now we can just transport like across the galaxy. But we still need starships because, eh, otherwise it wouldn't really be an interesting movie anymore, or it wouldn't be a Star Trek movie. I mean, this is not to completely spoil the movie for you guys, but yeah, basically it's like, you know, in the new Trek universe, there is literally no reason to have starships anymore. They can just transport wherever they want. And it would make everything really boring. Oh, and I'm going to, you know, spoiler alert for anybody on the podcast who hasn't read this one before. Khan's blood, it makes you immortal. So, you know, there was literally no mystery left in the Star Trek universe. The Star Trek universe is like your girlfriend of 5 years. There's no mystery there anymore. The first movie, though, is definitely...
He is married.
Yeah. Guess who's not getting a link to this podcast? the first movie is pretty good. I mean, it's a good introduction to all the characters. Like, I mean, I'm not one of the people who's like, oh my God, how dare they reboot the series? I mean, like, the device that they used to get there was kind of like a little bit lame. And, you know, this Nero canic character, which, like, you know, people were like super high on Eric Bana and stuff. Mm-hmm. He was like okay, but you know it was a good movie, a good reboot, and then totally disappointed by the second movie. And I'm totally excited now for like the Fast and the Furious Star Trek 3, but you know, I'll probably be disappointed.
Is that this one?
Yes,
Star Trek 3, Fast and Furious, sir.
Fast Trek.
I mean, it does have 93% right now, but it does not officially come out till July 22nd. We're recording a few days before it actually comes out in theaters.
Well, I've read that so far it appears to be the best of the new three movies.
Oh.
From what I've read.
The best
of these movie? The reboots.
Oh. Yeah, I hope so.
Oh, these three new ones. Okay.
Of these movies that are new, there are three, and this is the best one of them.
I thought he meant like it's the best third movie of any series in a while.
Of all time.
Better than Hangover 3.
Well.
And better than...
I mean, it's tough to think of the threes. Like, what do you got?
I think
you got Indiana Jones.
Yeah, that was what my mind immediately went to, is that Lost... Is it Lost Crusade? Is that the third one?
The Last Crusade.
Last Crusade.
Wow.
Steve. Well, listen.
What has happened?
I thought at first it
was... Can we fire you from your own show?
Well, that's a movie. If only there was a movie podcast we had all been on, then I could get fired from it. But there is not. No, I did think, oh, isn't it Last Crusade? But then I was like, oh, wait, it can't be that. There was more. So.
No, there wasn't.
By the way, just to infuriate all of you more, my girlfriend has seen Indiana Jones 4 and nothing else.
What?
The only movie she's ever seen?
No, the only Indiana Jones movie she saw was that one.
That's fine.
So, Steve, remember what I said it's going to be like in a few years. Just lose it now.
Anyways... So, I don't know. I do want to see the new Star Trek movies. It's just a matter of just sitting down and catching up on them. Because, I don't know, I don't know if you know this, but there's a lot of stuff on TV right now. Like, what?
There's a lot.
A lot of shows I need to watch. Like, Hotel...
Star Trek DS9.
Hotel Hell.
Hotel... What is that?
Hotel Hell with Gordon Ramsay, of course. And
oh, God.
Only,
of course.
Only the important shows I need
These
to watch.
Are the things you choose.
Hotel Hell.
The Golden Age of television.
Oh, Match Game.
You're watching a British guy yell at people in a fake reality show.
So
yeah, Deep Space Nine, Steve. I mean, my 2.5-year-old is more advanced than you on this one.
Oh, God. What about Enterprise? Do I need to watch that?
No. Not unless you actually watch the rest of them.
Okay. Only when I run out of all other Star Treks do I need to watch Enterprise.
There's some really good fan service in season four of Enterprise, but only like you'll only appreciate it if you've watched the other series like pretty religiously.
Because I do.
Bob, there's the new series coming out too.
What?
Could not be more stoked.
Yeah.
Oh, is there a new series?
Yeah, I don't know if have they given it any name yet, or is it they're just calling it the new Star Trek right now?
I'm pretty sure it's the new Star Trek, and they know nothing about like the plot details. Like Gene Roddenberry had this like, you know, he wanted to do Star Trek Starfleet Academy, which like sounds like it would have basically been like Star Trek 90210, mm-hmm. and you know, like there's. Yeah, there's some speculation it would have been that, and then the other speculation is that it's going to be between like the original characters and the Next Generation, which is probably like the most interesting unaddressed portion. And then like there's like some thought that it might be like in the new universe, which like would probably be least interesting. But like they know basically nothing about. Well, at least I know nothing about the new television series, but it could be different.
I mean, the biggest thing is that it says it will not be related to the 2016. Star Trek movies.
Okay, good to know. So it's in the original universe.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Sorry, I was trying to look at the date for this, and I don't know. This will shock you, but Wikipedia has some incorrect information. So at first they said it was supposed to begin in January 2017, but that's. But then I scroll down and they're still casting and they're not going to, I don't know.
Well, how long do you think it takes to film one of these episodes?
Oh, actually, I mean, Steve, no, that's the last I heard too, is that it was going to be January 2017.
Yeah. It was second.
It's a TV show.
They are really cutting it close. They're just going to record the,
they're going to start out with the holodeck episodes.
Clearly. Well, to quote Calculon from Futurama, they're just going to film then shove them on the air, apparently. No editing. No shears. I don't know. Like, I feel like Star Trek is always one of those things I've wanted to get more deeply into. But the classic Wars versus Trek, you know, Wars was always so much easier to just, like, you can get through it all. Like,
oh, yeah. You just get the movies and you're done.
Yeah.
Then you get the Legos, then you get the video games. The good video games.
Yeah. If it wasn't made clear, I am a Wars guy.
I think
so. Y'all can just play Rebel Assault instead of meeting the cat people. Go ahead.
Sure. Yeah, good video games like Rogue Squadron.
Well, and also I will say it's weird. Star Trek, yes, it's had a ton of movies, but it doesn't feel like it's been as relentlessly shilled as Star Wars has.
Because people aren't
interested. Well, it doesn't appeal to the mass market kiddies like you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's...
If people don't care, then they're not going to bother having marketing tie-ins.
Good point.
It's not going to show up in your Happy Meal. That's exactly it. Your Star Trek toys aren't nearly as good. I mean, I'm one of the rare people that, you know, I like them both, you know, so I don't have like a strong feeling Star Trek versus Star Wars.
Oh, I'm but, still, yeah. I grew up as a Wars guy, of course. You know, I've caught on to Star Trek in the past decade, but overall still on the Wars side.
It's the same reason they make toys of like fire trucks and not like a scientist in a lab coat.
Neil deGrasse Tyson's a Star Trek guy. You know, I mean, you got to trust the smart guys on this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did he take to Twitter and nitpick everything about the Star Trek movies too?
Probably.
I hope so. It's only fair.
Yeah.
He ruined every other movie.
Yeah, well, God forbid they ever recast the new Star Trek with all female cast, because that would just be, you know, wrong. You're not allowed to do things like that.
No. Oh my God, I would love to see them try, just because I would get great pleasure out of that. But for me, Star Wars has higher highs, but also lower lows. Whereas Star Trek, like, I don't know, I've seen the bad Star Trek movies, and even those, I'm like, yeah, It was okay. It was still watchable. Yeah. Whereas, like,
you know what doesn't happen? You know what doesn't happen in the bad Star Trek movies? What I really hate is sand. I can't stand sand.
So rough.
Yeah.
But yeah, not you. They're... Not you, Bob. You're silky smooth.
I mean, there is overacting, but it's from Shatner, and it's wonderful. It's like, you know, I could watch Shatner read the phone book. So, Brisket, did you have anything else you wanted to say about the old Star Trek for the NES?
Oh, were we playing that game? No. It kind of makes me want to play an actual good Star Trek game. Oh, did we even mention Star Trek Online, which is an actual good game?
Oh, shoot. I forgot to mention that part.
Go ahead.
The series has continued. the ones getting the highest marks tend to be Star Trek Voyager Elite Force, which is a first-person shooter for the PC from 2000, and Star Trek The Next Generation Final Unity, a PC game from 1995. It was described by Den of Geek as the most Star Trek The Next Generation game ever because you follow tenuous clues throughout the galaxy and you talk way more than you fight. the most prominent game out now is Star Trek Online, which is a MMORPG with middling reviews. It's sitting around 50 to 65 on Metacritic. However, it does seem to have several million PC players in the 2 to 3 million range at its peak, and it's coming out for the PS4 and Xbox One this year. And Brisket, it seems like you might have some experience with that.
Yeah, I played it a bit. It is a middling MMORPG in that scale. But if you're familiar with Star Trek at all, there's a lot of fan service in there. And the ship battles are, you know, it's true to the show. It's more like you're flying a submarine in space and firing your torpedoes. But, you know, it's decent for a MMO game, it's apparently good for a Star Trek game.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the benefits to the MMO games is that, you know, even if it's just average, if it's in a universe you like, it seems like people tend to enjoy that, whether it's Star Trek, Star Wars, or I think Lord of the Rings has an online game as well.
Yeah, and the thing, I mean, it's filled with fan service. Like you can equip your crew with different outfits of the different generations of Star Trek people. So there's a lot of little Easter eggs in there.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Well, Huel, did you have anything else you wanted to say about this game tonight?
Watch out for the worms.
I will say it was stupid. I just kept trying to walk past the worms, which is
I was trying to shoot them. I couldn't hit them.
Yeah, they are tiny. You're not actually meant to shoot many things in this game, which I suppose is very Star Trekian. So
made very clear.
Yes. All right, Bob. Any final thoughts here on Star Trek?
Yeah, I'm still disappointed that they didn't get back behind the Enterprise and push when you ran out of dilithium crystals.
We all are.
On that note, let's move right along to the email portion of the show. Huel, did you get any emails this week?
I did, in fact, receive one email. Mm-hmm. It is from ScooterBot42.
Oh, Scooty.
Old Scoots.
So, Scoots writes in, Dear Basementers, I'm still in town from last week. I haven't been able to find a ride out of here yet. It has, however, allowed me to visit one of my favorite places, the local public library. Such a sight for sore eyes. It's where I'm writing you now. I've been doing some research for my trip and have recently found out about a wonderful website called Kickstarter. I think this is going to change the game for me in my journey. I think it's time to start a campaign to get me to Cooterslut 42. Which reminds me, have you ever kickstarted a game? Your friend, ScooterBot42.
That's a good ask.
Good ask.
The social crowdfunding website known as Kickstarter.
Let me go first because my answer is no. So Brisket.
Okay.
I'll go second, and my answer is no because I first of all, I have 300 games in my queue on Steam. I own them and I have yet to install them. So that's the first thing. Second thing is I want to see some reviews first on the final product before I put my hard-earned money into something.
Indeed.
And the third thing is there's no free lunches. Come on, guys. There's no free lunches.
Huh.
No, I don't kickstart games because there's too many good games on GOG to buy, particularly old Star Trek games.
Oh, sure, yeah. Clearly. Yeah, I'm kind of in your guys' boat, too. It seems like dangerous territory.
Well, and also, unfortunately, the returns so far on a lot of these have not been so spectacular. I mean...
Yeah, well, what's the one that got like $80 million or something?
Star Citizen?
Yeah. Still hasn't come out.
Still hasn't come out. They've been piecemealing it out, and so far it's been getting okay reviews from what I saw. Mm-hmm. I have some family members that went in on that one, and they have not played it really.
How can you blame them though? Just keep taking people's money, and they just keep giving it to them.
Yeah, and we've also I think we mentioned this on the Mega Man show, but the creator was creating a new game called Mighty Number 9. It finally came out this year. It's currently sitting at 53% on Metacritic.
So above average.
Not quite. and also, actually, in the magazine I get from my GameStop subscription, it got a 6 in that, which by magazine scores, a 6 is equivalent to, like, you know, a 2. So
out of 10?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
So, number 6 is more like number 2. Two out of 10 would not bang. And also, by the way, we have mentioned this game many times on the show because of Huel's love for the original. Shaq Fu 2,
yes.
Legend Reborn, still has not come out, and I don't see a release date yet for it. So
yeah, that ended around the time we did that episode, I think.
Oh, they're supposed to be like almost released by the time we did that episode.
Oh really? Oh boy.
And that was, I think, more than a year ago. So
definitely, yeah,
like it was one of the first episodes we did, I think. So now you can get the perk, a gold cart of the game, if it ever comes out, though. So
that is the key to some of these perks. That's actually happened.
Yep. And that reminds me of another one. There was the Genesis RPG that you could actually buy the Genesis cart for, and it was very disappointing. I wasted my $10 buying it for PlayStation. So, anyways, I think we kind of answered Scooty's question. Bob, did you do any Kickstarter stuff?
No. Only buying old Star Trek games on GOG.
Okay. Hmm. Yeah. Well, that was a good ask though by Scooty, and I hope he cleans up that stall in the library when he's done with it. Todd, did you get any? Did you get any emails there, Todd?
I did indeed get an email. This one, they didn't leave a name, and it's from an anonymous email address. And the subject says, "This is going down. This show is going downhill." They wrote, "I have been a loyal listener since episode 56, and I must say that this show has been on a steady decline. It used to entertain me, but it has grown repetitive. Bits are recycled, and it is becoming too politically charged. I don't care what those pussies on the left have to do with Kids a Million." Speaking of which, when are you going to cover Kid Chameleon? Kind regards, a former fan.
What episode are we on anyway? 57?
This is 65?
Oh, okay. Just curious.
Episode 56 looks to be Pitfall and Moon Patrol.
Hmm. So, wonder who might be writing in then.
Yeah, they were not a fan.
Hmm.
So
no, they've been a fan since 56.
They've been a loyal listener since episode 56.
So maybe that's when they jumped on board, if you will. Hint.
Okay, good for them.
What was the question?
The question was, speaking of which, when are you going to cover Kid Chameleon?
Okay. I don't know what that is.
It is the Genesis game where you are a kid and you put on different hats.
Oh, wow. You know, I don't know if we're cool enough to cover this one. There's a cool dude on the cover of this game.
Whoa.
He looks like the Fonz.
Well, I say we add it to the list.
Yeah, let's add it to the list. Yeah.
Bob, have you played Kid Chameleon?
You know, I feel like I have. I used to play a lot of Genesis in my friend's parents' basement. Shockingly enough.
Wow.
Oh.
And
so much crossover here.
So there was a little bit of crossover. It was my friend's parents' basement, so your parents' basement, or my parents' basement, or any parents' basement, my friends. I'm trying to think. So there was this there was Alex the Kid, and it was like called Dire Beast or something. I can't remember. Altered Beast. Yes. That one was good. And I'm pretty sure we played some Kid Chameleon.
Oh, it's a Mega Drive.
Well, it's like the same thing. Mega Drive and Genesis.
Yeah, but still.
I feel like this may have been a game that was on Nickelodeon Arcade quite a bit.
Nick Arcade.
It looks familiar to me, but I did not own a Genesis at this point in time. So I must have seen it being played somewhere else. I don't know. We're always open to suggestion, to trying new things out. So, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, if it's a Sega classic, then I'm definitely down.
Mm-hmm.
Anonymous.
I
hope
yeah.
you come back on board for that game.
Yeah, and if you have any game suggestions for us, you know, email parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com. We'll, consider your games. So, did you get any other emails there, Todd?
I did. We had an influx of emails after the new segment last week, so it's time once again to ask the Sweet Boys. So if you have any questions about life, sex, love, relationships, or any other subject that has been troubling you, then please write into us at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com with the subject ask followed by your question. Remember, we will always keep you anonymous unless otherwise requested. Mm. Right, for this email, I'm going to use an accent that I assume that this person has. All right, they write, "How do I get my daughter to understand my boyfriend comes first?" "He pays the bills, not her. He provides for all my other children, not her. So just because him and her don't get along, don't mean she gets to be the princess and I have to leave him. She moved out because they got into this huge argument. But until he puts his hands on her, it's no big deal. I left my last boyfriend, who abused my son once, so of course I'd leave him if he touched my daughter. She thinks she comes first because she's my daughter, and I don't want her to think I don't love her because I do, but the boyfriend always comes first."
Huh.
From
so
Anonymous.
What advice do you have for this writer? Ooh. How do I get my daughter to understand my boyfriend comes first?
Well, I
would draw a number one on a piece of paper and then write the boyfriend's name. And then I would draw a number two and write the daughter's name.
Oh, man. That. I mean, I respond to charts and
yeah,
and
visual aids.
Visual cues, yeah.
They usually help any presentation. Some people are visual learners. Some people are audible. Whoa.
Oral.
What happened to my head there? Oral learners. And others learn by demonstration. So I think just a different teaching technique mm-hmm. might work wonders.
Huh. See? I don't know. This sounds like a weird situation. I don't really have any great advice. Bob, you're a married man. What do you do when...
Yeah, Bob, how do you get your daughter to understand your boyfriend's comes first?
Well, I mean, I guess the question I have for you guys is, like, doesn't the man always come first, or am I doing it wrong?
Oh, that's a very good point. Very good point.
Well, this is something the daughter needs to learn early.
Yeah, I had
this
an ask.
This is like a sex ed problem.
I had an ask, though, Brisket, which is, does the letter writer leave their sex or gender?
What do they identify as?
They did not self-identify.
So what if they're both
men? We cannot make assumptions.
They could both be men.
Yes, it could be a man and his boyfriend coming first before the daughter comes.
Well, in that case, next to the number two, you would write your own name, and then you would draw three, and then write the daughter's name. I just want to amend my answer.
And number zero is Jesus, of course.
That's always assumed.
Yeah. Come on.
If this is a zero-based array, then yes.
Well, I think we solved that person's problem. Yeah. I think Huel actually had some really good things to say about that.
Often do.
Yeah. Always. Bob, did you receive any emails this week?
I did receive an email, Steve.
Oh,
yeah.
You know, so you know, I told my fans that I was going to be on the show, mm-hmm. and the email I got was, "Dear Bob, how dare you appear on such a show that would besmirch the best video game that ever came out, which was clearly the Ghostbusters video game for NES. Mm. I love to purchase ghost food and then try to attract ghosts and then run out of gas and push the Ecto-1 to the gas station over and over and over again. This was my childhood. How dare you appear on a show that would dare to besmirch such a great game?" Signed.
No.
Oh, no. Not again.
Well, they signed with sound.
Yes, they're very advanced.
Peter Bankman checking in.
Well, I got to say, you know, where you know, some people thought it would be a good idea to round up Jews in the 1930s, and
wow.
And are you saying
which
this?
Which side is this?
Are you saying this is better or worse? Well, I think we all know.
Todd,
what you
please.
Mean, Todd.
Please.
That was the first time Steve ever had to edit a show.
Well,
cheers.
I mean, there was that one time that Todd had some improper things to say about Croatians of all people, but
oh, don't get me started again.
let's just say every backsack appearance usually has about 20 extra minutes that the listener doesn't hear at the end.
Backsack comes in. He comes in with some gas. He
comes in hot.
Yeah,
some hot takes. He's not gonna let the man keep him down.
So you should title this episode Godwin's Law, Steve, and let the listeners figure this one out.
Oh, God. Well, I think we have answered that ask about Ghostbusters. Well, I only received one email. Hey, Steve, why doesn't Todd ever host the show? Also, what's your favorite number? Sincerely, Larry Bird. Larry, my favorite number is 33. Thanks for writing in.
Wow, how convenient.
Yeah. So I think that's about it for this week's show.
What's your favorite number?
Oh, 33.
We didn't go around. Is he just asking you?
Yeah, he just asked me.
Okay. Steve. All right. Steve? Oh, okay.
He didn't ask you guys.
I mean, we just answer strictly what is asked inside these emails.
He doesn't care what your number is. He cares what my favorite number is, and it's 33. Coincident.
Okay. Who are we to argue?
Yeah. So that's. I mean, it's unfortunate because now I'm sure next week maybe someone will write in and ask you guys what your favorite number is, but we won't find it out now. We definitely won't. So, what could it be? Could it be 2? Could it be 7? A lot of good numbers.
12.
Mm-hmm. 34.
32. Ball shrimp. Fried shrimp.
Yeah.
Honey Dijon.
We'll never know. Huel, is there anything else you wanted to say before we signed off here?
Upon entering the Star Cruiser and ascending the stairs of amazing girth, you might encounter the earnest Cyborg 9, who tells you that the Tribunal will only see you if you present a gift of gold. Now, don't you wish you picked up that Antarian yak on the bookshelf?
I only know now that you were reading from the manual, because I'm peeking at it, like, during the show. And, yeah, the manual has 2 pages that are just flat out insane, which is like a guide for the beginning adventure game player.
They're much more entertaining than the game.
It's clearly written by someone who just said, well, screw it, this Japanese company is never going to come back and read this manual, so you know, let's just have fun with it. The Golden Antarian Yak.
Oh yes.
Brisket, did you have anything else you wanted to say before signing off?
Oh, what does God need with the starship?
Okay.
Ooh,
solid,
good one.
Solid ask.
Is that from Star Trek V?
Yes.
Wow. Oh, man. Well, Bob, thanks for guesting. It was... I didn't care for all the Ghostbusters talk, but... but outside of that, it was a lot of fun.
Well, thank you, and I had a lot of fun. Thanks for having me.
All right. And on that note, I think it's time to play... Well,
Steve, hold on. You didn't let me sign off. That was mean. You didn't ask.
Oh, boy.
Oh, well, also, I always forget. Do you have any projects you want to plug? Are you appearing at the La Brea Improv this weekend?
If I told you about my projects, I'd have to kill you.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Never mind.
My sign-off for you, Steve, is this. I'm going to seek out new life and new civilizations, and congratulation, you have completed a great game and proved the justice of our culture.
God damn it.
Could not agree more.
God damn you. On that horrible note, here's a snifferoo from next week's game, as we are finally promised for realies playing an actually decent game.